the thing we're dealing with here in the book of James, and I'm going to jump ahead a little bit, Bill 2:4-7, in James 2, verse 1. You see a reference to Jesus Christ as Lord of glory. James chapter 2, verse 1. My brethren, have not faith in our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with respect to persons. Now, the Lord of glory, when we're talking about the Lord of glory as the Lord Jesus Christ, you don't see that term a lot in the Bible. And when you do, in Acts chapter 7, verse 1 and 2, you notice the God of glory is a title that is only used twice. And both times it is about establishing the kingdom. In Acts chapter 7, verses 1 and 2, read, are these things so? And he said, men, brethren, and fathers, hearken. The God of glory appeared unto our father Abraham when he was in Mesopotamia before he dwelt in Charan. And so the mention of the God of glory in chapter 7 has to do with the kingdom promise that God made back there in Genesis 12-17 to Abraham. Then you see it again in Psalms chapter 29 in verse 1. Give unto the Lord, O ye, and ye, give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Worship the Lord in the glory of holiness. The voice of the Lord is upon the waters. The God of glory thundereth. There's that term, duty that we're looking for. The Lord is upon many waters. And so when I see the term the God of glory, it is in a psalm that's about the kingdom. Notice in the same psalm, chapter 29 of the Psalms, verse 10, the Lord sitteth upon the flood, yea, the Lord sitteth king forever. Look, and so the God's glory is that king forever, Lord of glory. And so I'm getting a feel for what James is talking about in James chapter 2, verse 1, when he talks about the Lord of glory. In chapter 24, in verse 7, lift up your heads, ye gates, and be ye lift up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is the King of glory? Some of you can sing this psalm. The Lord, the strong almighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, even lift them up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. And so, Psalms 24, with Lord of glory, the King of glory, the Lord, it's about the kingdom setting. Jesus says in Matthew chapter 25 in verse 31, when the Son of Man shall come in his sanctuary, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit on the throne of his glory. So there you see, in Matthew chapter 25 verse 31, this business of the Lord of glory, when he is seated upon the throne of his glory. So what I'm giving us here from James chapter 2, verse 1, is this business of the Lord of glory being the Lord Jesus Christ in kingdom setting. So what James is doing, James is giving instructions to Israel that has to endure the tribulation and get into that kingdom. Now, in Matthew chapter 19 and verse 28, Jesus said unto them, verily I say unto you, that ye which have followed me in regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit in the throne of his glory, ye shall sit on 20 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. You don't own a throne, you don't get inside, you get heavenly places. James is not talking to you. Jesus is not talking to you in Matthew chapter 19. James is not talking to you when he's talking about the Lord of glory. In James chapter 2 in verse 1, we've already read that passage, verse 2. For if there come into your assembly a man with a gold ring, and you've got the issue in James chapter 1 verses 1 through 9 about respecting wealthy people and not respecting poor people. That is a terrible, terrible thing in Daniel's 70th week, because the wealthy people will have got their wealth by blasphemy, by taking the mark of the beast. And the poor people, they're going to be the ones who refuse the mark of the beast, and they are not able to buy or sell. You remember in the book of Jude, verse 14, you see the Lord cometh with 10,000 of his saints to execute judgment, verse 50 in Jude, and he is to execute judgment upon all and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds, which they have ungodly committed, and of all their hard speeches, which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. These are murmurers, complainers, walking after their own lusts, and their mouth speaketh great swelling words, having men's persons in admiration because of advantage. So in Jude, you speak. You've got people who are ungodly because they play up to the rich and don't engage the poor. Now, in our dispensation, we respect everyone equally. In our dispensation, everyone is either saved or lost. There's only two kinds of people on planet Earth. When you're reading the book of James, you are in a setting where things are quite different. And the issue of riches is something that is a warning, and regarding rich people is a problem in the book of James. A notice in Psalm chapter 10, and I won't read all of the 18 verses of Psalm chapter 10. The issue that is raised in Psalm chapter 10, in verse 2, the wicked in his pride doth persecute the poor. And so the wicked persecution of the poor is exactly what the Antichrist engages in. And the wicked persecution of the poor, then, is something that the writer James is saying that James's people, the Israelites, should not be unkind to the poor. Now, I'm jumping ahead again in James chapter 8, and as we've seen the issue of the wealthy and why it is such a thing, it's not about grace doctrine and you kissing up to rich people and being unkind to the stinky bums. That's not what's going on in James chapter 1, verses 1 to 9. What's going on in James chapter 1, verses 1 to 9 has to do with people that are rich because they took the mark of the beast and people that are poor because they did not. Now, Jesus said in Mark, in chapter 10, in verse 25, it's the point that it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. And again, you see the problem with riches, and that problem becomes exacerbated during Daniel's 70th week. In James chapter 2, in verse 5, hearken, my beloved brethren, has not God chosen the poor of this world rich in faith? And so you see, James is pointing toward the poor as being the desirable crowd. And again, the reason, practically, is that they parted everything out equally as Peter told them to do. And no man owns anything as Peter told them to do. Why, Peter, in Acts chapter 3, says, silver and gold have I none. And that wasn't because he was a bad fisherman, or that the fish weren't running, or that all his fish had mercury in them. No, the reason Peter said, silver and gold have I none, was because he sold his possessions and parted it out equally among the people. And when James says, hath not God chosen the poor of this world, rich in faith, and heirs of the kingdom, which he promised them that love him? But ye have despised the poor. Do not rich men oppress you and draw you before the judgment seats? And so James is really beating them over the head with being respecters of persons, and they have to be careful not to do that. You see it also in Revelation chapter 13, in verse 15. In Revelation chapter 13, in verse 15, you see he had power to give life to the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. And he causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand. Doesn't say on their right hand, it says in their right hand. Or in their forehead. Doesn't say on their forehead like a tattoo. Says in their forehead like an implant. And that no man might buy or sell save that he had the mark, or the name of the beast, or the number of his name. And so, you see, the Antichrist system in place in Revelation chapter 13. And you see, the people in the book of James are poor because they cannot participate in buying and selling. And on top of all of that, James is writing to the crowd that is going to see the four horsemen of the apocalypse, so-called, in Revelation chapter 6. And in Revelation chapter 6, in verse 5, when he opened the third seal, I heard the third beast say, "Come and see, and behold, a black horse, and he that sat upon him had a pair of balances in his hand. And I heard a voice in the midst of the four beasts say, 'A measure of wheat for a penny, and three measures of barley for a penny. And see, thou hurt not the oil and the wine.'" So, a measure of wheat for a penny. You don't get much. And poverty is the order of the day. Now, the Antichrist has his whorish kingdoms, and he makes whorish deals with other kingdoms, and the Antichrist has charge of buying and selling, and the Antichrist is one that if you don't worship him, fight it off with your head. And so, the Antichrist system is something that the people of the book of Hebrews, 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, Jude, and Revelation, as well as the book of James, are being schooled with respect to the Antichrist system. In James chapter 2 and verse 4, they are again told that they are not to be partial about rich people. In Revelation chapter 13 and verse 5, the Antichrist, he's got power, and he causes people to blaspheme. And so that would be something that James would warn against. And James, then, is going to warn his people about the issues associated with enduring through death's 70th week. Notice in James chapter 2, in verse 7, "Do not be blaspheme that worthy name by which ye are called." And so, again, blasphemy. And, of course, blasphemy of the Holy Spirit is something that these people can do, and they won't be forgiven. The rich and the poor are, by the way, contrasted in Revelation chapter 2. In Revelation chapter 2, notice in verse 8, "Unto the angel of the church of Smyrna write, these things saith the first and the last, which have dead and is alive. I know thy works in tribulation and poverty, but thou art rich. And I know the blasphemy of them that say they are Jews, but those not, but a synagogue of Satan." And notice, in Revelation chapter 3 and verse 14, "Unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, beginning with the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm, and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked." In the book of James, we've identified the issue of the rich versus the poor. We've identified who James is writing to. We've identified the fact that James is dealing with people that need to learn what pure religion looks like. They need to do the right things and have the right kind of performance. And so James is schooling them, and he is explaining to them their situation. James doesn't speak to you or to me. James does not speak doctrine to you or to me. James is giving doctrine to the nation Israel as they are headed into Daniel 7th week. And so that's the orientation of the book of James. But in Luke chapter 6, where we were, he lifted up his eyes and he said, "Blessed be ye that are poor." And the issue of the poor is something that is a hands-on doctrine for Israel, as they have to go through the mark of the beast time, they have to go through Daniel's 70th week time, and the reason that they're poor is because they didn't take the mark of the beast, and so God, Jesus Christ, tells them to pray that God would give them their daily bread, and so God gives them miraculous feedings. In Luke chapter 12, he said unto them, take heed and beware of covetousness. As a man from in the abundance of things which he possesses, and he spake a parable, saying, the ground of a certain man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, what shall I do, because I have no room to bestow my food. You know this parable, you know this story. And the question at the end of the thing is that when his life is required of him, his riches won't mean anything. And again, that would be something that fits into the time frame of Daniel's 70th week, when you think of the parables as being kingdom parables. In Luke chapter 12, in verse 22, he said unto his disciples, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, or neither for the body, what ye shall put on. The life is more than meat, and the body more than raiment. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, which neither have storehouse nor barn. God and God to feed them. How much more are ye better than the fowls? And of which of you, God, with taking thought, can add to his stature one cubit? If ye then be not able to do that thing which is least, why take ye thought of the rest? And so the issue that Jesus is talking about in Luke chapter 12, what has to do with this same business of enduring and trusting God's provision. Now, God promises to provide for the nation Israel as they are believers enduring to the end. In James chapter 2, verses 1 to 13, it is the issue of avoiding preferring people that are well, and they help us blasphemers to the mark of the beast. The poor people that come out of Daniel's 70th week into the kingdom get that kingdom rest. In Luke chapter 10, verse 5, when Jesus told forth, he commanded them, saying, go not into the way of the Gentiles, or into any city of the Samaritans, enter ye not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out the devils. Out. Freely you have received, freely give. Verse 9. Provide neither gold, nor silver, nor brass in your purses. And so then, there is an admonition not to be associated with the world financial system. In Acts chapter 3, in verse 6, then Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And so, Peter's broke, not because he's a bad fisherman, but because he can't take the mark of the beast. He sold his possessions, he's parted it out equally. And so that's the doctrine that is in place there. Similar to the doctrine in James chapter 2, verses 1 to 13. In Acts chapter 8, in verse 20, Peter said unto him, thy money perish with thee. And that's what's going to happen to the people that take the mark of the beast. Their money is going to perish with them. Peter is preaching tribulation doctrine in the early part of the book of Acts. Peter says in Acts 2:16, this is that which was prophesied by Joel. And so Peter is preaching tribulation doctrine, and Peter doesn't have any money. And that, again, we've explained it, and you understand why that is. Now, there is a problem with a lot of people during Daniel's 70th week when they do take the mark of the beast, and then they become hirelings. Then what they do, they're in it for the money. In John chapter 10, in verse 9, I'm the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and go in and out, and find pasture. And Jesus says that the thief cometh but for to steal. And so there's thieving, there's murdering, there's all kinds of horrible things. Woe unto them, for they've gone the way of Cain, and the wrong religion at that, and ran greedily after their money for reward, and perished after the gainsaying of Korah. And so, again, Jesus is warning these people that they are the painful people that have to endure this and suffer poverty. In Matthew chapter 10 and verse 16, he sent forth a sheep in the midst of wolves. And so the sheep in the midst of wolves, that's James's cry. That's to whom James is speaking. Now in James chapter 2, in verse 17, do not they blaspheme that worthy name by which ye are called. If ye fulfill the royal law according to the scriptures, and we studied the royal law last week, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. You know, loving neighbor as yourself doesn't talk about your next door neighbor you live. What that talks about, loving thy neighbor as thyself, is Leviticus chapter 19 in verse 18. Leviticus chapter 19 verse 18, thou shalt not avenge nor bear any grudge against the children, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. 2 verse 7 is quoting Leviticus chapter 19 verse 8. And here you see Israel has to help other members of Israel's nation. Israel has to look out for Israel, and nobody else is going to. Everybody else is going to be a heathen. Everybody else is going to take the mark of the beast. And so the love for the neighbor here is another level of doctrinal understanding in the book of James. In James chapter 2, in verse 9, if you have respect of persons, ye commit sin. And you have respect of persons, and it's not the same thing with you. For them, it is a terrible thing. In verse 10, whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all. Now, there is a tremendous verse, my dear dispensational friend. James chapter 2, verse 10. If a person doesn't keep the whole law, if he offends even one tiny little point, he's guilty of all the law, James chapter 2, verse 10. Now, you've got people who talk about keeping the commandments, and I can promise you they're not even doing that. And you've got people who think that they're going to keep the law and go to heaven. And you can point out to them that if they're guilty of any transgression of any of the 613 points of law, they're guilty of all. That means then you can convict them as being guilty of having broken the law. Why, you just take them to Deuteronomy chapter 22, and I'm positive can find you something that they're not doing in Deuteronomy chapter 22, laws, statutes, that they have violated, which means then that they're guilty of all, and then you can use the law lawfully. You can use the law as a schoolmaster to bring people to the saving knowledge of grace, the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul tells us to use the law lawfully, and we can use it as a schoolmaster to show that we're without hope, that we need here. And most folks today don't think that they're lost. And so you can get many people saved, you have to get them lost and minister to them that they have failed. And when they find out that they failed, then, at long last, you can present the gospel of the grace of God to them, and they might be open to it. So James chapter 2, verse 10 is a useful verse for you and for me as Jack Pauline dispensational right divider of the King James Bible. Again, we use all of the Bible. We are throwing away the rest. But that's just not so. We study and we use all the Bible. We just use it in different senses. We don't use it as our doctrine. In verse 11 in James chapter 2, for he that said, do not commit adultery, also said, do not kill. Now, if thou commit no adultery, yet if thou kill, thou art become a transgressor of the law. So speak and so do. So, as they that shall be judged by the law of liberty, for he shall have judgment without mercy. Aren't you, do you live in the dispensation of the grace of God? Aren't you glad of Titus chapter 3, verse 5? Judge that it is not by works of righteousness which we have done. James is talking about works of righteousness. Aren't you glad that it's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us? And I please and respectfully call to your attention that in James chapter 2, verse 13, there is no mercy. In Titus chapter 3, verse 5, there is mercy. See, you live in a dispensation under the law, and the law has no mercy. Do you see that difference? Do you see that dichotomy? Do you see how you could teach that to people and help people with that information? And so we've come down through now the 13 verses in James chapter 2, which leaves us at a tremendous beginning point for next week.